B'shus Marina Rav Shlita. I've been getting some very weird comments about today's topic, but we're not going to give a good beer guide or extracts from the Witch magazine. I know that our Gentile friends take the subject of beer very, very seriously. Once I was up north and this lorry driver said to me, "That beer you get down south, we wouldn't wash out our glasses with." For us, it's more of a socio-religious thing, and it's true to say that there is a difference between the Litvaks and the Hasidim. The Litvaks, you know, on Shabbos, between Mincha and Maariv, they learn Shas with Poskim. And what do the Hasidim do between Mincha and Maariv on Shabbos? They're involved with Pas and Shoskim. And beer is often on the table, and there are interesting ideas and halachas which come out from the subject of beer. We're going to deal with some of them. The Anyonim of Kashrus, official Akum, Chama Medina with Kiddush and Havdalah, there's certainly Anyonim of Purim, and we're going to see how many of these we can get through. Yeah, I once heard that the reason why Jewish people don't get as drunk as Gentiles is because Jewish people are worried when they're drinking wine, they don't know the Nachbracha by heart, it's quite long. So they make sure they don't drink a Revius. The thing is about beer, it's just very nefashious, like any other drink. So what's to stop you? Well, we'll have a look at that later. The beer which is drunk often has a froth developing on top. And funnily enough, there's a Gemara about this. There's a Gemara in Chulin, Daf Kuth Hei Omud Beis, where Abaya, who must have been a keen beer drinker, says, once I had this thought about drinking the froth on the top of the beer, because if I just sipping the froth, it might look a bit like not good manners. He says, "Pam chashavti shema lo shosim ketsef mishum ma'os." It might be something ugly. And so he says, if I sweep the froth aside, then that might look like rejecting food, which can lead to anios, to poverty. So he talks about mixing the froth with the beer. In halachic terms, there is a question posed about, in Hilchas Shabbos, if beer has not got froth on it, and you want to serve your beer with froth because it looks better with froth, it looks inferior if it hasn't got froth on top, can you do something to it to make froth? And they had this way of mixing it into a cup of sugar so that once you pour it, the froth would develop. And this shaila is asked by the Ketzos HaShulchan in Kuf Mem Vov, and he says this is allowed on Shabbos. He compares it to when you're rubbing liquid soap and you make lots of froth. He said it's not really anything. There's nothing in it which would call it nolad. And it's something which is temporary and withers away anyway. So he says it's allowed. What I found an interesting question is that especially when you go to Simchas and you see beer being served, cans or whatever it is, kadasya functions, no heksher on the beer, there is a question about kashrus. In fact, if you look in the London-based Kashrus Food Guide, under alcoholic drinks, you look under beers and it says, all okay, great. If you look at the Kadasya Kashrus Guide, which comes out every Pesach, they have various subheadings and they don't mention beer at all. However, no. Pesach is definitely chometz, but the Kashrus Guide is talking about all the year round. However, if you look at the website of the vegetarian and vegan societies, they actually advise their members not to drink certain kinds of beer, and they list those kinds of beer, including Guinness. Why? Because they say it's not vegetarian. It has derivatives of animal ingredients. And what are they? Guinness beer contains something called isinglass, or isinglass, which is formed from the bladder of the sturgeon fish, which is a non-kosher fish. And it's obviously, if it's not kosher, how can you drink Guinness? How can you drink beer? And further research discovers that most of the beers made with this isinglass are usually the real ale-type beers, the kind which are cask-conditioned. A lot of canned and bottled beers are usually filtered in a different way. What is this thing, isinglass? It is when you've got all these little bits floating around in the beer, and somehow you want to remove them to make the beer look more clear in the glass. So they put into it this isinglass, which comes from the sturgeon fish, which draws on these little bits floating around like a filter in order to make the liquid more clear. Now, German law forbids isinglass. And so all these good quality beers you get from Germany, like Carlsberg, Budweiser, Heineken, there's also others like Bass and Holsten Pils, which do not contain isinglass. However, if you are in the habit of drinking Guinness, Fuller's or younger beer, they all contain it. Why is it that the Beis Din says nothing about it? Are these drinks kosher or aren't they kosher? Actually, kosher wines also contain some sort of filtering ingredient, but they're from a kosher source. And this question is interestingly analysed as long ago as 200 years ago by the Noda Behuda. The Noda Behuda in Simon Kaf Vov, and he lived from 1713 to 1793, so you can see how long ago this issue came up. And he asks this question, can you drink such a beer? All right, you might say that the amount they put in is very small indeed. In fact, it's about 1 teaspoon to about 5 or 6 gallons. So it's very tiny. And you know that there is a principle of something, in a 60th might be bottle. However, there is a din, ein mevatlin issur lechatchila, that you don't, on the outset, put a trefer ingredient into other food, saying, oh, it will become bottle in any case. That is a din d'rabbanan that you don't do. So if there's a din of ein mevatlin issur lechatchila, how can you drink this liquid which contains a derivative of the sturgeon fish, albeit in small amounts? So he says something very interesting. He says this sturgeon fish, or whatever it is which is put into the beer, it's in a very dried form, it's not edible, it has no taste, and its purpose is to act as a form of filter. Whereas food which is mixed up with other food, trefer food into kosher food, is it bottle, isn't it bottle, tam ki ikka daraisa. The whole idea of whether it's bottle or not is because of whether it imparts a taste. In the case of this isinglass, it's not there to impart a taste. It's there to act as a filter, it's dried up, it's inedible, ein aroi l'achila, and therefore the Noda Behuda permits it. Hence, we are not as machmir as the vegan society and the vegetarian society. Another interesting question which comes up about beer is bishul lakum. And also, there is also the question about stam yeino. If there is a din that you may not drink non-Jewish wine, gezeirah mishum chasnus, because rabbis were worried about social interaction and intermarriage, why doesn't it apply to beer as well? And if it does not apply to beer, surely there is a din of bishul lakum, which is that any food which is cooked by a Gentile may not be eaten under certain circumstances, because, again, social interaction, there was a gezeirah mechazal of intermarriage, and therefore to prevent social cohesion, certain things were enacted to prevent this leading on. So there's a Gemara in Avodah Zorah. The Gemara in Avodah Zorah, daf lamed alef on the base, says, according to the Gemara, Sheikha, beer of a goy is prohibited. Rami Bachama Omar B'Shem Rabbi Yitzchok, he says, Shenes Ha'adova Mishum Chasnus. He says, we forbid Sheikha, which is beer, because of intermarriage. Rav Nachman argues, he says, Mishum Giloy. He says, there's a problem that the liquid will be left open because it's in barrels, in casks, and if liquid is left uncovered, there's a danger a snake will come and impart its venom into it. So you may not drink an uncovered liquid, and therefore you don't drink the sheikh or shalakum. And Tosus is surprised about this Gemara. Tosus asks, Isur sheikho, the prohibition of beer mentioned here in the Gemara, lo motzinu, we've never found it, lo b'mishnah, lo b'baraisa. It's never been mentioned in any Mishnah or Baraisa. So why is it suddenly here, mentioned in the Gemara? V'shem Rabbi Meir Amoraim Osru. Perhaps it was something which was enacted later at the time of the Amoraim that they forbade it. Says the Rosh. The Rosh says, Eino Issur. There's no prohibition of drinking beir unless Kaveh Atzma Beveis Akum. If you buy the beer in a place where it is sold, and you sit in that place, and you drink it there amongst the non-Jewish surroundings, he says that is the prohibition which they were alluding to. So that would mean like sitting in a pub. Aval im nichnas the beis akum. But if one goes into a non-Jewish house, the shosa derech arai, and one drinks it simply on an occasional one-off basis, lo gozru, that is not included in the prohibition. V'chein hoyu nagim kol gudolei eretz ha'ai. And he says that is the established practice amongst the great rabbis of the land of Ha'ai. Ai means the island. And what is the island? So if one looks in the commentary on the Rosh, called Pilpul Harifta, he writes the words, Shomati Shehu Ha'ai HaGodol, I heard that this is talking about the large island at Shebayom in the sea, Shekarin Anglitaria, which is called Anglitaria, with a Loshan Ashkenaz, he writes, England. So the Rosh is learning that the whole idea of the practice of drinking beer is really in England, and the Rosh was living in, you know, in the year 1250 or thereabouts, so we know how long ago this. So the English mark their traditions very carefully in history for the important things. The English always got their priorities right. So this is a very interesting idea, because what the Rosh is saying is, and it's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, that if you're going to drink beer, there is no din of bishul akum, unless you are drinking it in the place where you are buying it on a kind of regular basis. Yes. Well, first of all, the inns were for lodging, for sleeping purposes. Secondly, it talks about when it was on an occasional basis, it was when they were doing it regularly. I know that in Germany they used to have pubs just for Jewish people. But the Moshav Leitzim Lo Yoshov, it's not really a good idea to sit even in those. Tosus on that Gemara in Avodah Zorah Lamed Alef says there are two reasons why we don't rule that beer is bishul akum. He says, number one, Tosfos say, Eina ole al shulchan melachim. The din of bishul akum is that it's highly dignified food, which is the kind served by the queen if you go at a garden party in Buckingham Palace. And that is called shulchan melachim. I remember discussing years ago the subject of bishul akum with Rav Kupa Shlita. And he was concerned about certain breakfast cereals because of bishul akum. And especially when you see on the side of the packet the royal insignia by appointment to Her Majesty the Queen and Prince Philip and Prince Charles and who knows who else. And the question there is this called bishul akum? So that's why he was particular to have puffed wheat, which was not a proper bishul. There are, however, poskim who say that it's not the issue of whether it's by appointment to Her Majesty the Queen. The fact that the Queen's household buys a certain item, it might just be for the servants. The question is this served at a royal garden party or at a royal banquet? The Queen is not likely to serve you cornflakes when you go to dine at Buckingham Palace. By the same token, say Tosfos, you're not likely to be served beer when you go to Buckingham Palace. Well, times may have changed, and maybe there is, but the truth is nowadays that beer is usually regarded as a more down-to-earth social drink and not something which is served by royalty. The second reason given by Tosfos why we don't regard beer as bishul akum is because Tosfos say the beer is subsumed into water, and since it is only part and parcel of what is primarily a drink of water, and the bracha on it is shehakel, although there are those who discuss whether beer should have another bracha, but the bracha is shehakel, so then it's more of an inferior drink, where something like wine has its own special bracha of Bar Priya Gofen. And therefore, according to Tosfos, there are those two reasons why beer is not regarded as bishul akum. So the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kuf Yodala brings down Kol Sheikha Shal Akum, and in bracket, well, it talks about Tamorim, dates, Ta'anim, the figs, Sa'arim, Tavua, Devash. So beer comes from barley, it comes from Tavua. Osu mishum chasnas, the ein osu ala b'mokam mechirosu. So the Shulchan Aruch says, only in the place that it's sold. And then the Ramah writes, and the Ramah writes for the Ashkenazim, he says, v'yesh matirin. He says, and we do, or there is an opinion that allows, b'sheicha shel dvash utavua, drinks which derive from honey or from tavua, which means grain, the chain nagin lahokel b'medinas einu, and the practice is to be lenient in our countries. That's the Ramah who writes for the Ashkenazim in the Shulchan Aruch, Simon Kuf Yud Dalet of Yeridea. Yeah, the idea is that kivush, that is the same shaila with the isinglass, because it's kivush kamavushal. Kivush, once you've soaked something for 24 hours in a liquid, it becomes like something which is cooked. Although bishul akum, we don't talk about kivush kamavushal. But if we're worried about something mishum chasnas about intermarriage, the Daki Tshuva talks and others talk about even drinking coffee or hot chocolate together with non-Jews can lead to socializing and problems thereby arising.
The same argument seems about working with non-Jews as well.
Yeah.
It's even worse. You know, there were people eight hours a day, 10 hours a day, whatever it is, non-Jews getting it more tedious.
Well, I've got some postcards which my great-grandfather wrote from Poland to my grandfather in England, and he writes to his son, do not work with Goyim, because otherwise you might need a shiksa. And he said, only work with Jewish people. So there was ingrained this idea in the shtetl in Poland, not to work with Goyim. Yes?
That's only a point of social harmony. Even if you're going to extend the prohibition, you only think of as wine, to other liquids, probably because of the socializing aspect, rather than the working aspect. Working aspect has a different mindset.
Yeah, and there are obvious shilas which arise if one does work with Goyim and you're invited to a retirement party or a birthday party, and how do you deal with it? People, I mean, we're not discussing here halacha lemaisa. You have to ask your own rav these questions. But if there is a problem with beer, then you might drink orange juice, but you're still socialising.
Well, no, they always go on a Friday. No, that's the point. Once you start extending the prohibition of chasnas to these aspects, then you're tapped away. That's it.
But with some yainom, as far as wine is concerned, Chazal continued the original gezeira of yain nesech, which was wine used for idolatrous purposes, and that was then called stam yainom. And at that time, it was wine which was used more as a social drink than beer. So the gezeira never really took root with beer, even though it's discussed as bishul akum as a possibility. But even that, the Ramah is lenient on. Another interesting question which arises about beer is its use for Kiddush and for Havdalah. If you have wine, fine. But if you don't have wine on Friday night, what do you do? So Shulchan Aruch and Ein Reish Beis Tiftes talks about, if you don't have wine, then you make Kiddush on the Chalas. So you will actually uncover the Chalas, because you're not then making a Bar Priyat Gofen, and you will make Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz on Friday night. But on Shabbos morning, what do the poskim say? Shemakachim al sheicha v'sh'ar mashkim. Provided it's not water and certain other drinks. So the Rosh says on Friday night you will make kiddush if you haven't got wine over the bread. And in the morning he says make it on sheicha or chamar medino. Chamar medino is the phrase used. And the Ramah says that is the minhag. And to what extent then is chamar medino including other drinks? Does it include drinks which are only commonly served in that country in which one lives, because it's the Chama Medina of that particular country? Or do we say it is a kind of drink which is served commonly to guests? Or is it perhaps almost any drink which is not just to quench one's thirst? And there, the different poskim are discussing it, and some disagree with others. The Shalat Shulas Hilchas Katanas writes in Chelek Aleph Siman Tes that Chama Medina should only be a drink which is intoxicating, something which is alcoholic. And this is brought down in the Minchas Shabbos in Sadi Vov Yud Tes, and I know that Rav Kupa Shlita preferred to use Chama Medina, which is an alcoholic drink, and he once said to me that he's not happy about tea and coffee being used. The Tzitz Eliezer writes in Chelek Ches Tesvov that there are other drinks which can be included. What is Chama Medina? The Shulchan Aruch Harav writes in Kuf Bei Beis that it's the sort of drink which people serve with their meals. And this is also the view of the Levushei Mordechai, Simon Nun Aleph. The Igros Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein, writes in Chelek Beis Simon Ayin Hei, a more wider definition. And he's also quoted by the Shemir Shabbos Kilchosa. Even if you have wine, but people like Chama Medina such as beer, then you can serve beer. So it's a drink which is served socially. If you have guests and you offer your guests a drink, you're not going to offer them simply a drink which is to quench their thirst, like water. You will offer something more substantial. Although nowadays the water industry with spas and spring water and carbonated water has become more sophisticated, and people do serve water as a drink. But the Shulchan Aruch and Resh Peitesiv Beis talks about beer, which is fine. The Chazon Ish was keen to say that beer can be a Chama Medina in England, but not in Israel. Because in Israel it wasn't really a Chama Medina. In Israel it's common to have beers which are non-alcoholic. I can't take the stuff, but anyway. So whiskey is called Chama Medina. Do you have to serve a large glass with whiskey? Various poskim say you don't have to because you can only drink a small amount. Although our people here I know have large whiskey tumblers. What about milk? The Yismach Moshe actually made Havdalah on milk. I had a great uncle who once made Havdalah on milk, and he was a very well-known Rav. However, the Mishnah Brewer is not happy about it. And the Igros Moshe is saying, well, b'di'evet. And so the Igros Moshe even allows orange juice for Havdalah. But the Debit Shinarov says no, and the question of tea and coffee is a subject of debate. Rav Falkshliter, in his Machse Elio, Simen Yodalad, discusses the subject of tea and coffee, and he says, well, if you're going to serve it with milk and sugar, then it's a proper drink, okay. But an interesting idea is brought by Rav Avadia Yosef. He says, in his view, Chama Medina must be bitter and intoxicating. He says, the thing is that there are certain drinks which you do normally drink before Shacharis, like tea and coffee, and you're drinking those before Kiddush, and therefore they are disqualified to be used for Kiddush. And in the same way, it's written that after, on Seder night, after your four cups of wine, you shouldn't eat or drink anything. But there is a Mishnah Brewer which says you can have a cup of tea. The fact that you can have a cup of tea after your four cups of wine means that it's not regarded as anything substantial. It's just like water, and therefore you don't use that for Chama Medina. The most lenient time is really Shabbos morning, but Havdalah, it says, Havdalah tiknu al ayayin. And a person who reserves wine for Havdalah is called a ben olam aboy psochim daf kuf yud gimel. Nevertheless, the Ramah writes that on Motzei Pesach, there is an established custom when Pesach goes out to make Havdalah over beer. And the Vilna Gaon was very particular to make Havdalah over beer. There are practical difficulties because, you know, if you go to a shop which has beer, well, it might be Chomet Shuvah of the Pesach, and it's got to be somebody who maybe has sold his Chomet to the Gaon, has brought it back immediately afterwards, or you're going to a non-Jewish supermarket. But the Gaon was very particular to make Havdalah over beer for two reasons. Number one, because it's nice to make Havdalah and to do a mitzvah for something which you enjoy very much, to chovev olov, and because you're chalishing for beer the whole of Pesach, because you haven't been drinking it for 8 days, so you make your Havdalah over beer, and therefore you would enjoy the mitzvah better. And there is another reason. The Gemara is saying that because we are not drinking beer, because Hashem told us not to drink beer on Pesach, because beer is chometz. And we're doing this because Hashem told us to. So as a mark to show that the 8 days are now over, we go and drink beer to show that it's not because we don't like beer, it's because we do like beer, but we were fulfilling the mitzvah of not eating chometz on Pesach. Purim. Now Purim, you may mishdem a simcha, chayev initially v'sumei b'puria adzilo yoda bein orahom and baruch mordechai. There is an inyan of drinking on Purim until one does not know the difference between Aruch Haman and Baruch Mordechai. And the Gemara Pesachim talks about Yom Tov. Yom Tov is either for eating or for learning, but Rabbi Yeshua says it's half each. Chetzi l'achilu shsiyah v'chetzi l'beis ha-medrash. And everyone agrees that by Purim there is the Lochem, that you should be having Mishteva Simcha. So you're not yotzei your mitzvah by sitting in the Beis HaMidrash. You are yotzei the mitzvah by eating. And the whole ikkah of the mitzvah is Mishteva Simcha. That is the main thing, says the Rif in Beitza, beginning of Perek Beis. And the Rambam brings this down in Megillah, Halacha Yudalud, Perek Beis, Lios Yom Mishteva Simcha, and Ketzad Chova Suda. How is the Chova of the Suda? Sheyocha Vosav Shosa Yayin. He says that one drinks wine, Ad Sheyishtaker, until one is drunk, V'yidam, and one goes to sleep, V'shikrus, from the drunkenness. Now many go to great pains to point out that the drunkenness on Purim is not ad v'ad bichlal, not up to and including, but ad v'lo ad bichlal, namely up to the point where you would get drunk, but don't actually get drunk. Alright, the nace happened with wine, so if you have wine on your suda, fine, you're doing the mitzvah. But what if you say, I prefer beer, and I can get drunk with beer? Are you fulfilling your mitzvah of Purim by having beer? That is the question. Now you might say, well, it says Mishteva Simcha. A Mishte can include any food that one likes, which includes beer. So why do I have to only have wine? Seder Hayom says, Vayomim O'ele Nizkoim Anasim B'chol Da'avada Mishpacho Mishpacho. He says the main thing about the Seudo is that one sits as a family. That families should sit together, and that is what makes the real Mishteh. He says, quotes the Sfas Emes in Gemara Daf Zay, when it says you get drunk, it's not literal. He says, even before you get drunk, you have fulfilled your mitzvah. Why? Because it says Mishteh. And when it says Mishteh applies all day long, well, the Ramah says that you have your Suda after Mincha. Unless it's Friday, you'll have it in the morning. But Rashi does say on the Vesume, Chayvon Shlevesume, he says, Lishtake Bayayin. The Imre Emes, who is the Ger Rebbe, seems to depart from Rashi's view about wine. He says it doesn't use the word lehishtaker. It says chayvin of livasume bapuria, which is a different word. It's not the word of shikrus. So are you yotze by beer? It seems that according to Rashi, he excludes things like beer because he says lehishtaker bayayin. Whereas others will say you're okay with other liquids as well. Now, often I've been to a Kedusha Simcha, like a Kiddush on Shabbos, and one has seen there lots of drinking cans, not just beer cans, but also Coca-Cola and others, where they have the ring which you have to pull in order to open the can. And it's quite surprising to see this at these occasions, because there are quite a number of poskim who are against opening these on Shabbos. The Chazon Ish writes that when you open up one of these kelim, you are forming a new utensil. Beforehand, you couldn't put into it, you couldn't take out of it, so by making that hole, you are performing an Issa D'Oraisa. It's true that there are poskim who go lenient and say, well, if you're opening it and using it only once, and you're not filling it up again, and you're throwing it away, there is an opinion upon which you can rely. But if we're dealing here with Issa D'Oraisa, it's certainly preferable to avoid opening such cans on Shabbos. Now, what about a Kohen? A Kohen is not allowed to drink before he duchens. Is this applying only to wine, or does it apply to beer as well? So, it does say in Parshas Shemini, Yayin v'sheichor al teisht atol v'necho itcho. Wine and sheichor is beer that you may not drink, but that's talking about the avodah in the Beis HaMikdosh. Does the same apply to duchening, or do we say it's different? So the Taz writes, in Kuf Kaf Ches, he says if one drinks sheichor, if the Kohen drinks sheichor, he's chayv malchus, he's not chayv miso. It's not quite the same as wine. And so the Mogen Avraham says, it's all right if the Kohen was drinking beer, unless he becomes as drunk as Lot. When Lot got really drunk, then that is something completely disorderly, and one isn't even allowed to daven when one is in that sort of state. Interestingly, when we have brofen, we have liqueurs, and we have this minhag of saying the chayim, where does this custom come from? At first, when I saw at the end of a shiva drinks being served in my youth, I was very surprised. I thought, this is a sad occasion. What are they celebrating here? And I was told, we say the chayim to life. But where does this minhag actually come from? There is a tanchuma in Pekudei which says that when the Beis Din were judging somebody on a matter where there could be the death sentence, and they would say the words Savri Moronon, asking the Dayanim what's the Psak, and they would decide whether it's L'chaim or L'miso, whether the person who is accused would be convicted to death or be allowed to remain alive. And if this person was convicted for death, Skilo or one of the other Miso Beis Din, what would they do? Before he had the death penalty, they gave him strong wine to drink to lessen his pain when he gets the death penalty. So that when the wine was there served, it was the wine, Yain L'miso. So when wine is nowadays served, we will say L'chaim. This is not for the death penalty. This is for life. And the Das Kainu Bala Tosfos writes in Shemini, in Peret Yud Posek Tes, he quotes a Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf, Ayin Omad Aleph, Rabbi Meir says, what was the forbidden fruit of the tree which Adam and Chava ate? I know people traditionally say it was apples, but really there was an argument where there was an estrog, and according to Rabbi Meir, it was from the vine, it was grapes. And so by eating from the forbidden fruit which was vine, we say l'chaim when we drink wine. And that is why, and the Sefer Nosim Ba'alocha brings down that there's a minhag amongst Hasidim not to say the word l'chaim when one drinks beer. Because l'chaim is specifically for wine. However, the minhag has developed that one says l'chaim really on any strong drink. And l'chaim has the same gematria as minhag, a custom. And minhagim, minhag Yisrael Tori, and customs can be so important that they can break a din, mavato a din. And so when we say l'chaim, we're saying that any evil decrees which might have been placed upon us should be annulled by our minhag, by this custom of drinking bromfen. But the Besh, the Baal Shem Tov, quotes the Rav Mikoznitz, who would not say l'chaim on beer, but the custom is to do so. We've once spoken about the story of Rav Levi Yitzchok of Bedichev, who on Kol Nidre evening, before he stood up for his sermon, looked under all the benches. He looked under all the benches of the Kehillah, and people couldn't understand what he was doing. And then he stood up and he says, "Am Yisrael Kadoshim Heim." He says, "Ribbono Shalom, you've commanded your people on Erev Yom Kippur to eat and to drink and to make a real seudah out of it, and they're all standing here sober before you, ready to daven. What a wonderful people you have." The non-Jewish people, when they're told to eat and to drink, boy, do they get shikha. Fortunately, drunkenness is not so prevalent amongst Unzara Chevra, but there is a problem which does develop. And to those people who get addicted to it, there is treatment. And there's an interesting Shemish Shmuel who writes in the subject of Yom Kippur that when somebody is addicted to something, then what he should do is take one step away. He talks about the compulsive gambler who says, "I'm making a neder not to gamble ever again." So in order to fulfill his neder of not gambling ever again, he says that person is not even allowed to set foot anywhere near to a casino. Because once he's near the casino, it'll trigger him off and he will automatically go in there and break his neder. So the way of dealing with this addiction is to keep one step away from the triggers. Now we're in Shemitah, and there is an interesting question about whether the use of the tevua, the grain, for beer is the normal manner of usage. The Aruch HaShulchan asks the question, and he says in Siman Kaf Dalet that it is perfectly allowed in Shemitah to use Shemitah produce for the manufacture of beer, because that is the normal manner of using such a food. The Gemara in Erevin Samach Dalet talks about the way to recognize a person's character. How do you measure up a person? Bekoso, uvekaso, uvekiso. Bekoso means the way he drinks, his cup. Picasso with how he gets angry or whether he can control his anger. Uvakiso and how he spends his money, kisses money. A person should control himself that even if he enjoys himself with the wonderful things which he enjoys, such as beer, kalesh atzmucha b'mashim otaloch, make yourself holy with what is allowed to you. So you drink out of simcha and you say l'chaim and you make a bracha and you enhance your sudas mitzvah, whether it's on Shabbos or on Yom Tov or on Purim. But one should know one's limits, and that is self-control. Kadosh atzmucha b'mashim utaloch. So when we instill ourselves with avodas Hashem, we are using our instincts. Our instincts which make us feel for going for the things which we enjoy, rather than using them for sinful purposes, and that is Asher Bocha Bonim Mikolamim, how the non-Jews might go along their desires and fulfill their instincts in an immoral sort of way. What we do is that all our instincts we divert the Shem Shemaim, and so when we're drinking our beer, well, not only will we enjoy the froth and the Guinness and whatever we're drinking, but we will be doing it as part of Avodas Hashem. Thank you very much.